It was the night of January the 19th, 1897, when a despondent, degraded drunk staggered along the streets of Chicago. His destination, Lake Michigan. His purpose, suicide. His name, Mel Trotter. He was sin-saddened, whiskey-soaked, homeless, and friendless. But something happened. Mel staggered into the Pacific Garden Mission. There he heard about the friend and savior of men, the Lord Jesus Christ. He received new hope, new life, and a new friend that night. Instead of suicide in Lake Michigan, he found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He later founded 67 rescue missions in American cities to tell the good news that Jesus saved. Life has no meaning without Christ. It is only a rapid series of smiles and tears, joys and sorrows, failures and successes, joined by the thread of a few fleeting years. Life has meaning with Christ. It becomes a time of worship, praise, and purpose, preparing the soul for the climax, eternity with Christ in heaven. Perhaps you'd never destroy your body by suicide, but if you're not saved by the blood of Christ, you are committing spiritual suicide, the suicide of the soul. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you are without Christ, you are without peace, without hope, and without eternal life. Instead of taking your life, you may receive eternal life. Suicides are rapidly increasing. Americans are killing themselves on an average of 3 an hour, using guns, knives, sleeping pills, poison. Discouraged and despondent people are seeking the so-called easy way out. Many prominent people have chosen suicide in recent years. Many successful Wall Street brokers, embittered by the stock market crash, leap from windows to death. Is there a solution to this suicide situation? The psychologist and the psychiatrist fail to find the solution. Doctors are perplexed. Who has the answer? The only satisfactory answer is found and is given by the Lord Jesus Christ. In God's precious word, we read the answer that will take care of all of this destruction. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Satan says, commit suicide. But God says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Don't go on to suicide, rather, go to the Savior's side. Life's problems are too complicated for us to solve. The problems of sin, sorrow, finances, failures, and many others are too great for the human mind. But they're not too difficult for the Savior. If Christ is on your side, you need not elect suicide. It seems so strange that when a man confesses that he cannot solve his own problems, and God is standing by asking to have a chance to prove his power, yet the blinded soul will not give God a chance. The devil must be behind the whole thing. It's his work to lead the souls of men to perdition. God is gracious, and in kindness he asks us to commit our way unto him. There has never been a problem too great for the Lord. He can solve every problem. In fact, he specializes in solving problems that appear to be impossibilities. He is too gracious to force you to commit your cares and difficulties to him, but he offers to help, and the wise man will accept his offer. While God is saying, commit thy way unto the Lord, the devil is saying, don't do it. Put yourself to sleep and take the easy way out. Remember this, he has been a liar from the beginning, and his counsel cannot be trusted. The devil is not working for your benefit, but for his own, and only a foolish man would rather listen to the devil than to commit his way unto the Lord. At present, the record stands that Christ has helped thousands of discouraged, sin-sick victims of despair, and as in the case of Nell Potter, he has used these persons to help many others who are frustrated and who need the Savior. The question may be raised, why does God permit circumstances that produce frustration? answer I can find is that it's just one of his sovereign ways of getting the interest of self-centered, careless sinners. In most cases, these crushing blows come as a direct result of refusing to listen to God through former kind and loving entreaties. Take, for instance, God dealing with the firstborn of Adam's family. In the case of Cain, he pleaded with him, and he said, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" In other words, he is saying, "If you change your mind and bring the lamb offering, I'll still accept you." But Cain was stubborn and rebellious, and it became necessary to use severe methods. And finally, Cain says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." We are justified in concluding that Cain actually brought the punishment down upon his own head. Our loving God is far more anxious to save than to punish. But when men and women reject his free offer of forgiveness and salvation, his righteousness demands that punishment must follow. Sometimes hardened sinners may get to the place where they will feel like saying, "I wish the Lord would leave me alone." But they had better not pray that prayer, for when God leaves sinners alone, their doom is sealed. My unsaved listener, I want you to face these facts. It may be that all the difficulties and perplexing problems that are your present lot are yours because you are refusing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that should be the case, then your troubles are being permitted by a very loving God who seeks your blessing. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. We cannot afford to stand in God's way when he is seeking to bless us. Many souls will be in heaven who lived carelessly for days and had to be brought to their knees through unbearable circumstances. As long as the sun is shining and the birds are singing and everything seems to go well, the careless sinner pays no attention to the need of his soul. He has no time to hear the gospel, and sent some pass out into eternity in this hopeless condition. But, on the other hand, God sometimes allows unpleasant blows to awaken the stupefied sinner, and these apparent dreadful things turn out to be blessings in disguise. My unsaved listener, will you turn to Christ while he calls in gentle tones? Or will you invite God to send the blows before you will turn to him? In grace, Christ stands and extends a kind and loving invitation. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust him who died for your sins and who is ready and anxious to save you the very moment you will receive.